Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Here's orbit motion. Nico. CJ gets the snap. Throwing downfield, and it's picked off. Kamu Grugier-Hill, the former Texan, has it at the 20-yard line, bottled up there. Stroud's first pick of the year. Bad time for it. Never a good one. Mullins wondering if they have to snap the ball again. And they don't have to snap the ball again. It is over in Minnesota. The Vikings throttle the Texans 34-7. Houston takes its first loss of the year and gets back into the division next week with a home date against the Jaguars.
All right, that was Mark Vandermeer on the call, obviously. That was the technically the first play from scrimmage. The Kamu Grugier-Hill interception, because there was a penalty on the very first play.
Of course
there was.
There was a hold on
Cade Stover.
Yes, Cade Stover, who was tasked with blocking the very best pass rushers on the Vikings yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant game plan.
That was the first play, and then the last play, Nick Mullins genuflecting. 34, and not much good happened in between. 34-7, the final score yesterday. As we welcome you in on a Reaction Monday, and man, is there a lot to react to today from that game yesterday. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. I ask this with much trepidation. How are you doing this morning?
I'm all right. It's hard for me to move beyond some of just the idiocy and get into the deeper level stuff with this team. But there are issues that would prevent this team from certainly winning a Super Bowl. If the Vikings are in the Super Bowl, this is going to be one of those old school Super Bowls where it's not a competition at all. Remember when the Super Bowls were just the disgusting, pathetic displays
the whole
of the
80s, man.
The great American sport, right? Yeah. Kids, there used to be a time when the Super Bowl was the worst game of the year continually.
Never competitive.
Now, it's week three. That Vikings defense did many of the same things to the 49ers the week before. Made Brock Purdy look just like he had no answers at times. Like C.J. Stroud yesterday looked like he had no answers at times. So I'm trying to remember that. But there's some consistent themes that keep popping up. I honestly wish the Texans could have played that game without so many idiotic, boneheaded things done by the offensive line that I could move beyond that. And then I really wish the offensive line had taken some measure of accountability for it afterwards. It's not a surprise to me that these guys are talking about, like, well, you know, they didn't tell us that they were going to call us for lining up too deep in the backfield. Did you watch any football at all this year? Did you watch the very first game of the year? It's a point of emphasis. And offensive linemen have known now for a couple years since they started emphasizing this that all you got to do is check with the official.
Who is that on?
That's on Laremy Tunsil. That's on Titus Howard.
Okay.
Yeah, like, you check with the official. You're like a receiver. You check to be sure you're okay. But then, too, these guys are talking in the post game about how it's unfair and they're being targeted by the officials. I'm sorry. Does that include the false starts? Is it new this year that you're not allowed to leave before the snap of the football?
Right.
On an offensive line that's just disjointed and messy.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a point where you're using Cade Stover to block Jonathan Greenard, mostly so you can turn your protection back towards the interior offensive line, which is so awful. And they had no answers versus the Vikings defense. And you've got to keep... I mean, they're using seven-man protection where, like, only three of the guys know how to actually pass block.
Yeah.
You might as well just spread it out and go air raid on them and try to do something that way.
I think, the two most frustrating things from a team standpoint, we'll get to individuals here in a second.
Yeah.
Because, boy, is Laremy Tunsil taking some, and rightfully so, from Texan fans everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as a team thing goes, to me, the two most frustrating things, one... That game yesterday, we said it after the Bears game on Sunday night. If they play this way against Minnesota, they will get beaten. They will get their skulls thumped.
Yeah.
They played that way against Minnesota, and they got the... Like, you could have seen this one coming. Don't commit a dozen penalties. You know, like...
Yeah, they got one shy. They were only 11 this
week.
Oh,
is it 11?
One was declined. Laremy Tunsil's illegal formation.
Declined.
That when they had four straight penalties... When they knocked themselves out of field goal position with four straight penalties, Laremy was declined
that's
at the
right.
end there.
Okay. Yeah. So it was only 11, yeah. So that's frustrating, number one, is that, hey, man, like, the warning signs were all there, and you did nothing about it.
Yeah.
You did nothing about it. Number two, This is supposed to be an explosive offense. I was told that the acquisition of Stephon Diggs and the continuity that was kept in the coaching staff, the acquisition, I know Joe Mixon didn't play yesterday, but Diggs in particular, CJ in year two, and through three games, I keep hearing about, well, teams are playing these two high safeties again. You know, teams are playing two high safeties against everybody these days.
Right.
Where is the counterpunch?
Where's the, right, where is the running the football?
Are we just going to sit here and complain about how they're getting covered and how they're getting treated scheme-wise?
If the defense is allowing you, and the Vikings did this less so than in the first two games, but if the defense is allowing you to run the ball, basically, then just go ahead and run the ball. But they're lost. They're lost in a lot of ways. This is on Bobby Slowick ultimately, because that offensive line is by far the weak link on this football team right now. I'm trying to think of a position group. Offensive line. And it's the lowest common denominator on this offense actually being any good. It is true. Look, it's one thing to be limited a little bit in your offense, even though you have these three wide receivers. But now, after three games, in which two of them, you really haven't done much offensively at all. You got to look at it and say, look, there aren't any excuses. You've got Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, and Nico Collins out there. And yes, they spread it around a little bit yesterday. They got some more guys involved, but it was just a complete non-performance.
Yeah, they were down double digits like that.
And even when things, I mean, three of the first six series were upended by offensive penalties.
Yes.
Offensive line penalties.
Yep.
And or just, I mean,
Laramie Tunsil. They were upended by Laramie Tunsil.
And that's the thing. This has been a consistent theme with Laramie Tunsil through his career, where, great, you're a great pass blocker, but on these critical drives, you kill drives with your false starts. Like, you easily, it's as good as giving up a sack. You go from 3rd and 3 to 3rd and 8. You do all these things that negate the good things you do. And then in the run game, I mean, there's just no... I just worry the guys like, I think like young guys like Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green can develop into some good players in the NFL. And yet the example they have set for them is these guys that want to be like diva offensive tackles. It's just the strangest
thing. And they've been rewarded for it.
Yeah, they've been heavily rewarded for it.
Yeah, I think that's the tricky part.
Like, who are your most swarm like? At any point this season, are Laramie Tunsil or Titus Howard going to be in the circle of swarm?
Oh, God, no.
I highly doubt it.
It's a long season, but they're not even close right now.
And there's a thing, too. You know, it's like sometimes as a defense, you go up against certain offensive lines where, you know, as a defensive player, you're never intimidated by an offensive line, but you know when you're going into a game where you're like, yep. It's going to be a hard hat week.
It's going to be a long day.
I got to be ready to go. I'm going to be battling today. And as good as Laramie Tunsil is in pass protection, I can't imagine there's a single guy out there who's like, oh, we're in for a bloodbath this week.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, we better be ready. Yeah, screw this guy. I'm going to, it's finesse. It's a finesse. This is an offensive line that wants to be finesse, and yet they're not good at the finesse either. It's like some rich kid that's taken fencing lessons his whole life, and then all of a sudden he thinks he's going to show up in a bar room, and then he gets hit upside the head
with his little sword.
Yes, yeah, with his little foil. Hold on, foil. Good sir. Yeah. Yes, I have a foil, and then he gets cracked upside the head with 40.
Let's hear from C.J. Stroud. This was C.J. As long as we're talking about the offensive line, here was C.J. Stroud saying, we can't be in third and long all the time.
No.
Can't live on third and long, especially against a defense like theirs. They cause a lot of issues on third and long. You have to give yourself a chance, and, you know, you keep shooting yourselves in the foot and just moving backwards. You know, you're not playing complimentary football even for yourself. So, you know, I don't know exactly. I can't just tell you right now what the issues are up there. Has to be conversation, you know, away from, you know, the game and just meetings and just seeing what, you know, what we can do to be better when, you know, it's loud and, you know, how intentional we have to be at practice and things like that, just to get those things fixed. Because, I mean, we're moving the ball. It's just, you know, you're kicking yourself out the red zone and kicking opportunities, and, you know, and it's hard to live on third and plus 10. So,
see, it wasn't CJ's best day. I'll preface what I'm about to say by saying that it was not CJ's best day. That was not CJ Stroud's fault yesterday, I don't think. Like, he could have played better for sure. These were the third downs, their first 9 third downs. You ready for this, Seth? 3rd and 7, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11, a 3rd and 7 that went to 3rd and 12, thanks to Laramie Tunsil. Another 3rd and 12, a 3rd and 4, that went to 3rd and 9, 3rd and 14, and 3rd and 19 because of 3 false start penalties on 3 different players.
Yeah.
A 3rd and 10 that went to 3rd and 15 because of Laremy Tunsil.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, the 2 that went just 1 5-yard penalty,
yeah,
they got first downs on the actual plays for both of those. Like Xavier Hutchinson had a 16-yard catch,
right,
Tank Dell had a 17-yard catch. So it wasn't the 5 yards.
Yeah.
It was the 17 that you would have gotten to get the first down. So that was just in the first half. They averaged 3rd and 12. The first 2 third downs of the second half, 3rd and 16, 3rd and 11. The best they had was 3rd and 7, and that was on their very first third down. Other than that, it was 3rd and double digits literally every single time.
Yeah. It's and part of it too is when you watch and you see and you wonder, all right, with this defense, where the defense, if you guys can envision in your mind just the how it looks with the Vikings and a lot of defenses right now. Everybody's at the line of scrimmage at the snap. And then immediately everybody, all these linebackers will bail out. There's opportunities there. And we saw, even on that first, the second drive, where he hits, CJ hits Stephon Diggs. And like, it's just, but it's work. Like, you got to find those soft spots. As the linebackers are dropping back into their spots, there are openings there. But if you want to try to utilize a bunch of quick guys out on routes, the problem is you've got 2 tight ends in the game. They're both blocking before they leave on routes. The running back has to block before he leaves on a route because the offensive line cannot be trusted to do a damn thing. A damn thing. Whether it's physically blocking one-on-one or picking up the blitz or handling something as simple as, oh, the defensive line shifted right before the snap. They can't be trusted. And it's the one funky gear in the machinery that's screwing everything up right now. And that's on Bobby Slowick. That's on Chris Strausser. And frankly, honestly, when we listened to Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard both after the game talk about how, apparently they're emphasizing this illegal formation this year.
Laremy Tunsil's exact quote from Aaron Wilson on the illegal formation. You ready?
Yeah.
They tried to make an example out of us. The first 2 weeks we lined up the same with no problem. Now it's a problem. I feel like somebody told them to make an example. Laramie's got to stop with the victim stuff.
Yeah, no, he's the most penalized offensive lineman in the league.
He's been doing this for 4 years now.
Yeah, the victimhood is not going to play.
No,
it's like an 8-time felon being like, well, they were looking for it out of me. I just, you know, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I just you murder 8 people and all of a sudden they're on watch for a 9.
Apparently that's a point of emphasis with the police.
And it was a point of emphasis from week 1.
Yeah.
And it is as simple.
Just watch football.
All the offensive tackle has to do is check. But that's where it's on Chris Strausser, the offensive line coach.
Yep.
I'll tell you another thing. Juice Scruggs and his stupid head bob. Yeah, that should have been flagged.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when they go to silent count and the center lifts his head up, you're not allowed to jerk it back up because it's like simulating it's trying to,
like, you're getting out of your stance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like on 1, you lift your head up, on 2. And he did the very same thing the next play.
Yeah.
These guys are either not accepting the coaching or they're not even being told or coached about this stuff. It's bad, man. That's on Slowick. That's on Strausser. That's on certainly the veteran leadership.
Yep. We'll get to more Texans. I thought CJ had some good perspective after the game that we'll get to. It was bad all the way around here in Houston yesterday. It wasn't just the Texans. We'll get to the Astros as well. We'll get to some headlines later. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. It's a Reaction Monday. Stay there.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
We'll circle back to the Texans in just a minute. CJ Stroud with some perspective after the game. We'll run it through the filter here and see if it matches up with how we're feeling about this team. But bad day yesterday for the Texans. Bad, really bad day for the offensive line. 34-7. They lose to the Minnesota Vikings. Bad day for the Astros, too. Bullpen implosion in the 9th inning leads to a 9-8 loss to the Los Angeles Angels. The worst news, though, is Yordan Alvarez hurt himself sliding into second base. No contact or anything. He didn't run into anybody. He just slid into second base, stretching a single to a double. Joe Espada after the game on Yordan Alvarez.
Pretty sore right knee contusion, and we are getting some imaging done right now, so we won't find out anything, you know, at least for next hour. But, you know, not what I wanted to see, you know, when I run out there. And it's pretty sore just when he slid and just his weight on the knee, just the way he landed. So hopefully we get some good news here.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. I sure do hope so. Yeah. I have a contusion. What could go wrong with contusion?
There's no way it could turn into a 3-month shin breakage.
Yeah, I fully expect at some point 3 weeks from now they're going to say, well, it turns out that actually every leg bone was broken. We just couldn't see it with the imaging. We've got these MRI machines that we got from Soviet Russia in 1975.
You think we're being snarky? This is where this team has put us when it comes to injuries.
Yes.
This is their fault.
Jordan's contusion is not as simple
contusion.
As... those days of me saying, oh, a contusion, that's just fancy lingo for a bruise. I don't know.
No.
I don't know so much anymore.
It's fancy lingo for a hairline fracture for Kyle Tucker.
They put three syllables in it for a reason.
You know that this lines up directly with what I've been begging Jordan to not do.
You don't want him to slide.
I don't want him to slide.
What do you do? You can't play baseball without ever sliding.
Sure you can.
Yeah.
Just don't slide.
Oh, yeah. Just try to stop really fast on two
just
feet
stay on
and
first.
Collide into people.
How about just stay on first?
All right. No. No. No, he's just got it. That's a hazard of the game of baseball.
It's really hazardous with him. Anyways.
He does have that. He has that feel of a 3500 heavy duty diesel just going down the highway at 90 miles an hour when he's running. And you're like, okay, it's fine. Wow, it can move along really well until a little bunny rabbit hops out in front of it.
Yeah.
And then you got to swerve. Well, it doesn't quite have the alacrity that you hope.
That was saying alacrity. That's a good word. We didn't get to watch the Astros game yesterday because we were watching the Texans game up here. We were just getting push notifications. At least I wasn't watching the Astros game. But I got the push notification from several people who were at the game or, reporters or whatnot, where you go, okay, Jordan Alvarez is leaving the game after sliding into second base. I just assumed that he was sliding into second base and ran into another human being.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was just... sliding into second base and nobody was within 12 feet of the bag.
It was a superfluous slide. Right, but again, that should be no big deal. You got to do that 20 times in practice, putting on your sliding pants there.
All right. All right. Well, Jake Myers is batting second in the playoffs.
This is who Jordan is. I mean, this is not... I just can't tell a guy not to do the normal everyday baseball activities because you're built a certain way.
They just need to win one game against Seattle, and they'll clinch the division. Here's Alex Bregman saying, we're in a pretty good spot right now.
I think we keep focusing on taking it one day at a time, continue to play good baseball. I thought we played well, showed a lot of – I thought our offense was really good today, just being able to bounce back inning after inning. And, I thought it was a good series all the way around. I thought our pitchers threw the ball really well all series long.
They're going to be the 3 seed, it looks like. They're 4.5 games back of Cleveland right now for the 2nd seed. As we pointed out, they just need to win one game against Seattle. They'll clinch the magic number's 2.
But that's not always the simplest thing to do. They had a simple, easy way in last year, too. And remember, it got kind of dicey.
Mm-hmm.
They needed the help of the Rangers. So Josh Hader was the biggest disappointment yesterday, obviously. Gave up, was it 4 earned runs?
4 earned runs,
I went through, I just wanted to check just to be sure, and on Josh Hader's playoff performance. I hadn't looked at it in a while. He's been in 16 postseason games. He's only given up earned runs in 2 of those appearances.
Okay.
So it's not like you have to worry about Josh Hader being some guy that can't handle the pressure or crunch time or
anything
like that.
We're used to good closers. Ryan Presley was a great postseason closer for the Astros. So, yeah, we're used to that. That's the buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
So one game, win 1 out of 3. They've got their 3 best starters going. They got Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, Yusei Kikuchi. Like if we get to Thursday and the Astros haven't clinched the division, there's going to be a major 5-alarm fire going on.
It'll be a rough week in Houston.
It'll be
a rough week in Houston.
Between that and the Texans, yes.
And then the Texans just without, if Joe Mixon's not healthy, I might just not come to the game next week. I think that's one area they missed Joe Mixon yesterday was in pass protection, too. That first holding call on Kate Stover. I mean, Cam Akers had every opportunity to give a little bit of a chip.
Yeah.
But you're like, boy, he squeezed through that tiny hole like it was a run play or something. Instead of just making any one bit of an effort to help out Cade Stover, he just...
I haven't seen snap counts yet. To see how many snaps British Brooks got?
Yeah.
He had one really good, on Cam Akers' really only good run of the day, that 9-yard run.
Mm-hmm.
British Brooks had a nice block out of the fullback position on that play. So yeah, I gotta go check that out.
I would say put as many people on the field who actually enjoy physical contact as possible.
Well, then they're gonna have to revamp the offensive line. It would appear.
I want Broker to be the starting left tackle. You know, give me somebody that'll at least fight people out. Give me a holding penalty instead of a false start. Can I get that?
Yes.
An aggressive penalty.
Something
of
involving
some sort.
Contact.
Something that doesn't involve peeing down your leg because it's loud.
Yeah.
It was really, I don't think you guys understand. It was really loud in there. It was like crazy.
Yeah.
Did you see that? You hear that horn?
It was loud.
That horn was blowing.
They're saying skull.
Yeah, it was a skull. I didn't even know what that was all about.
Skull. And I just had to move.
I gotta be honest with you. I didn't think it was a healthy work environment. I just thought the decibel level that's frankly, like, can OSHA not get involved in this?
Right, OSHA.
Of course I jumped off sides. I was terrified.
Here's C.J. Stroud shifting gears. The Astros back at it tonight. Hunter Brown on the mound against the Seattle Mariners. Here's C.J. Stroud asked if this can be a game that they'll look back at as a turning point for them.
100% agree. I mean, I've dealt with games like this before where it's like, man, like, we look terrible. We like to, but that's not the truth. You know, they kicked our butts today. They are a great team, and they will continue to be doing great things. But we know what we are, and that's not what we put on the field today. Got a lot of respect for those guys over there. But like Steph said, I mean, this is just the beginning. It's week three. It's no time to, you know, point the finger or, you know, or separate. It's only time to come together. That's all. The most thing that matters, we stay together. We don't care about the outside noise. We know everybody's probably going to turn their back on us. We know our fans are going to stay loyal. So, you know, it is what it is. We know what we're going to be, and we're going to, you know, continue to go through the lumps that everybody goes through during the year at some point, and we're glad it's happening now.
As you said, like Seth said, you got to stick together stick together right now. I like that Stephon Diggs was the one that delivered that message.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Stephon Diggs also did, you know, was a lot more active yesterday. But, man, every single reception was so hard fought for all those guys yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too political here, but I'll quote a unanimously regarded as a great American president, Jeff Van Gundy, who once said, don't ignore in victory what you would not ignore in defeat. I think the Texans ignored a lot of stuff in victory the last couple weeks. I think that I'm glad they got punched and contused in the shins in week three instead of in week six or something, because they got away with a lot of nonsense and a lot of sloppiness in the first 2 weeks that if they'd been facing a better quarterback or a better team, they wouldn't have gotten away with. You know, they were lucky in some respects to get away with it in the first two games. So maybe this is a wake-up call that they need. We can set aside our podcasts. We can set aside our GQ. We can set aside our appointments with our personal jeweler. Whatever things that might plague the offensive line and others right now, you can say, oh, yeah, we sucked. Yep. Nope, that's what happens when we play that way. We sucked.
Well, and take it personally.
Yeah,
personally. Take it personally. That's the thing I think that's frustrating for me, for Texan fans, anybody who watches this team. It feels like, and I'll hone in on Laremy Tunsil again, because he's the leader of this, he's the elected leader of this offensive line,
yeah.
Elected by his teammates as a captain of this team. It feels like Laremy Tunsil takes Pro Football Focus rankings more personally than he does ass kickings like yesterday.
Right. It's never his fault.
Right.
It's never his fault. Well, you want your leaders to be sure that they're people there, that you set an example of it never being their fault. And that,
you want me to read the other Laremy Tunsil quote?
Yeah.
I read the illegal formation one in the open.
Yeah.
I'll read the other one.
Yeah, like he completely, speak nothing of the false starts, but sure, the illegal formation.
Well, here's the quote on the false starts.
Okay.
Here's Laremy Tunsil.
A great one. This is great.
False starts. I want people to understand we all have to be on the same communication. I'll take accountability because they're calling my name, but it takes all of us.
Right. So it's. So the offensive linemen are trying to time it so that they're leaving as the ball is being snapped, if not a little bit before. You can get away with a little bit before.
Yeah.
The problem is this. Laremy Tunsil has had this problem through multiple different centers.
Yes.
And every year the excuse is the same. It's that, oh no, it's got to be the center or somehow. I don't know if he's rhythmically challenged. I haven't seen him dance or anything, but dude, you're like the guy that's on his ninth wife and is like, all these bitches be crazy. Excuse my language, everything. Like, no, at some point, take some accountability.
Mm-hmm.
If it's happening with multiple different centers and it's not an issue for the other guys on the offensive line, it's a Laremy Tunsil issue.
Correct.
It's especially frustrating because Laremy Tunsil is one of the most athletic offensive tackles in the league. Of all the guys who need like a little bit of just extra help to time the snap count perfectly, he's the last guy who actually needs that extra help. And it's just, it's willfully harming the offense at this point. It's not even a matter of, you're willfully doing harm to them, you know, brazenly, and then asking for not even forgiveness, but just saying it's not your fault. I cannot imagine that D'Amico is cool with this. I cannot imagine D'Amico is cool with the way Laremy Tunsil operates. Never practices. Super vet. Remember CJ called him super vet? Never does anything more than he has to or anything. He's 30 years old. He's been operating like super vet since he was 27. Like, that's a status you get when you're 32, 33 or something. It's such a bad example.
Yeah. Text message.
Think of the children.
Text message. I'm really worried that Tunsil and Titus are not going to be held accountable at all, and this is just going to continue. Here's another text message. This is for you. Seth, how does a new-ish head coach like D'Amico get his message through to his diva offensive line player, Laremy Tunsil?
I was thinking about that at halftime. I mean, do you bench him? I mean, do you really go out there with...
Four penalties in the first half.
Yeah, because you've got...
And none of them came at a good time.
Blake Fisher or Nick Broeker are your next options, so you got to make that... You got to make that devil's compromise between, well, I really would prefer CJ not to leave this game with fewer internal organs than he arrived with, but I also, we can't operate this way. We can't get to where we want to go. I mean, it's just brazen at this point. It's brazen. Yeah. The league leader in penalties last year had 20 penalties.
It was Juwan Taylor.
Juwan Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, plays for a good football team. They managed to get by with the way he operates and everything. Laremy Tunsil right now has 10 penalties.
Three games. So he's on pace for about 55 penalties.
He's on pace for, yeah.
Oh,
but it's not his fault. It's the league.
I mean,
the league happens to be targeting the guy that happens to have gotten penalized for false starts more than anybody else since 2018.
Totally. No, that's the shame of the whole thing.
Right.
He's going to get 55 penalties this year, and it's not even his fault.
Basically, a martyr is what he is.
It's a good thing he got paid, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's good that
I can't wait for the next side-eye emoji when somebody gets paid.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun. Text message, the Tunsil free pass is over, and don't say he didn't have one. He did. You guys gave it to him. Okay, we gave him a free pass.
We gave it to him. Like, honestly, what are you even talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what are you even talking about?
Right.
Okay, the free pass is over. Don't deny that he had one. I've openly and like
said
I've openly
years.
Said that he's had a not a free pass, but that, yeah, he gets away with it partly because he's so good. But it's uncomfortable. Like, I have not felt, ever since D'Amico came to this team, I haven't been comfortable with the fact that Laremy Tunsil is supposed to be one of your team leaders, and he's the least swarm-like good player on the team.
Yes.
There's nothing about him and the way he operates that fits in step with the way D'Amico operates.
Agreed.
It's just... And, you know, the real tragedy of it all is... It does. It goes back to Bill O'Brien. Trent Williams was out there. Could have traded a third-round pick for Trent Williams. Instead, they chose to go with two first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil. And it's astounding, man.
All right.
If he would just take responsibility for it, at least.
Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Monday. Texans lose 34-7 to the Minnesota Vikings. Up next, headlines.
I love the notion that somehow, oh yeah, the reason that Laremy Tunsil is still the starting left tackle is because D'Amico is listening to Payne and Pendergast, and they gave him a free pass. So
we've been giving him a free pass.
That's over now, Buster.
Yeah,
that's over now, Buster.
Yeah, yeah. No, the free pass is gone now.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to headlines. Texans lose yesterday. Astros lose around the NFL. There were some crazy results yesterday that we're going to get into in headlines. We'll get you all up to speed coming up next.
And Pendergast with today's headlines.
Darnold takes the snap on third and goal. Looking. He's got time. Now pocket collapsing. Darnold scrambling out to the left. Squares up. Throws. Caught. Touchdown. No problem for Justin Jefferson. Able to find some real estate as Darnold bought time. And the Vikings get an early TD.
Well, yeah. He had Eric Murray on him on that play.
Yeah, but they also let Sam Darnold get out. Eric Murray was fine if they had just contained Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I was 100% fine with Eric Murray being on him on that play. They let Sam Darnold get out of the pocket, Justin Jefferson's going to get open at some point. That's the pass rush wasn't what it needed to be. And like you're also at the point now where you can talk all you want about how guys are getting chipped and everything. Like, that's why guys get paid as big time pass rushers. You get paid to beat getting chipped and all of that.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, contain Sam Darnold, who can run. I think the Texans defense was racist yesterday. I think they they looked at Sam Darnold and they're like, no way, this goofy ass can run.
And he can.
Despite what I may have seen on film.
They were stereotyping him?
Yeah, they were stereotyping him.
That's a shame. Yeah. So that was Justin Jefferson. That was a 7-0 lead. That was right after an interception from C.J. Stroud off a tipped ball. I hated that CBS showed the very first graphic of the game, 266 straight attempts without an interception. I'm like, oh, he's for sure throwing an interception now.
At least he threw one later on that was his fault.
That was his fault.
You know, at least he has one that he can feel from. I feel like I wanted everybody on the field to have something they can learn from.
Jason, well, you got your wish.
Jason Bristol last night asked me if the team needs to flush this and, you know, move on to Jacksonville. I would say no. I hope they don't flush it. I hope they feel the sting of how bad their performance was. The offensive line, especially. We talk too much about the penalties. Honestly, there are high school offensive line coaches watching the way that these guys move with their footwork and everything that have got to be like, oh my God, I would not allow this.
It's that bad, huh?
It's bad. Yeah, it's just sloppy and disjointed. And I mean, Titus is out there. It looks like Yordan Alvarez might as well be out there, like completely erect and just moving your feet around and everything. Like, I feel like Titus could move straight ahead pretty well.
Yeah.
But he's the first play, that Cade Stover holding call. I mean, Titus like almost knocks over Shaq Mason, then turns back out to handle the blitzer. The blitzer destroys Titus right back into the lap of the quarterback. It's like that all over the offensive line. It's gotten worse since week one. It's really amazing. There's certain things, when you face a team like the Vikings, that defense is really good, and it's really hard to play against mentally. But if you play with good fundamentals, at least you have a chance. The Texans are doing all these things that don't even give them a chance because their fundamentals are so flawed. So I'm the last person usually to just say, fire this guy, fire that guy. At this point, there's no... If anybody gets fired on the offensive line, be it coach or player or anybody else, it's totally justifiable at this point.
Well,
if they don't fix what's going on right now.
And they're so pot committed to this group. They've invested a lot in this group.
They've given a lot of money to offensive linemen that don't actually look like they give a damn about doing their job properly.
Use high picks on guys? Yeah. It's a shame. Here was D'Amico Ryans on the pass coverage. You just heard Justin Jefferson score the first touchdown of the game. Here's D'Amico Ryans assessing the pass coverage against Sam Darnold.
With the coverage, I mean, we have to make plays. We're in position. We have to make plays at the end of the day. That's what it comes down to. I mean, in the red zone there, we got them. Third down, a couple times there in the red zone, and we did not make the play. So that will never change in this league. Like, playmakers have to step up and make plays.
Yeah, and some of this is, I was trying to, my All-22 wouldn't load this morning. I appreciate that it was up already, but... I think the strategy of just letting Justin Jefferson explore the space, just go ahead and just say, we'll play some zone and just see if you can find a spot for yourself, Justin Jefferson, in the first half. I mean, he was magnanimous enough to drop a couple in the second half to make it look
nice
like
that. That was nice of him to do, I thought.
It was on the stat sheet you were able to say, like, oh, look, they limited him in the second half. Well, he dropped two easy ones where he was wide open. I think some of that's on play calling. That's on game plan by D'Amico and Matt Burke. And then also just on the defensive backs themselves, that you got to come up and challenge this dude. Turn it into something. Don't just let him get 10 yards of unfettered freedom to get into your routes every single snap.
So the Texans lose 34-7. Bad day for the Astros, too. They cough up a ninth inning lead. Josh Hader gives up four runs in the ninth. They lose to the Angels 9-8. The final score of that game. The big news coming out of this game, a couple things. One, Yordan Alvarez left with what's being called a knee contusion. We'll find out more about the severity of that today, I would imagine, seeing as the Astros play the Mariners. That's the other bit of news, is that the Astros is still yet to clinch the AL West. One win over the Mariners in the next three games, and they've got Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, and Yusei Kikuchi, their three best starting pitchers, going in these games. So hopefully by Wednesday they've got this thing wrapped up. If not, then for sure we will be discussing how the sky is falling on Thursday when we come in.
This might make me feel a little bit better. Where exactly are the Twins right now?
I know they're out of the playoffs.
They're 100% out for sure. Okay.
By one game.
I just wanted to be sure. Okay.
By one game.
All right. So that makes you feel a little bit better, I guess, at least, that something in Minnesota isn't going well for them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They're miserable about something up there.
I didn't know. It was weird. It was funny. I wasn't really getting angry at any Vikings fans. It was just strange and weird that they were like, you guys never want to give us credit. Give us credit now. I'm like, I rarely talk or think about the Vikings. What the hell are you even talking about? Yeah, I don't think about you.
Right.
Good job.
You're in the NFC.
Good job. I think it's an awesome story if Sam Darnold works out, and I think that defense is scary as hell. Honestly, I can see why Tua was so intimidated by Brian Flores. I don't think Brian Flores can't help
it. He's intense.
He intimidates quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's
intense.
And
I think he couldn't help it with Tua. I think it was just a matter of, okay, that's the way he's wired is to intimidate quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Poor Tua.
Whatever
CJ was going through yesterday, Tua had to go through every day.
You see, we may get a Tim Boyle start on Sunday now. Tim Boyle's a Dolphin, and Skylar Thompson went out with a chest injury.
Mm.
Tim Boyle was in that Dolphin-Seattle game at the end of the game. Texans legend, Tim Boyle.
I think about the Dolphins more than I think about the Vikings, and yet I can't, I don't get excited about them falling apart. I suppose. I don't know why.
Because that's what they do every year.
Yeah.
So, speaking of other games around the NFL, Cowboys lose yesterday to the Ravens, 28-25. Game was not as close as the final score would indicate. It was 28-6 in the fourth quarter, and the Cowboys put a flurry on them to make it a close game. The Titans lose to the Green Bay Packers, 30-14. The Green Bay Packers with Malik Willis at quarterback. Nice revenge game for Malik Willis in Tennessee yesterday.
Yeah.
That was big.
It's not good in Tennessee right now. Will Levis with
another pick six.
Well, and the other thing, too, Will Levis, you know, I'm just amazed at the hits that he takes that he doesn't need to take. He has no concept of whether or not a play is going to work out for him, so he just goes for it. Like, he was 2 yards shy of the first down marker, and he thought he was going to leap for it, which is great. You know, for glory and whatnot, and the team, but he didn't even get off the ground. He got snubbed. He's so stupid. He's so dumb.
He's dumb.
I think about the Titans a lot.
You do?
Yeah. Since we're talking, you know, the hierarchy of teams that I think about.
Yeah.
I think about I never think about the Vikings. I think about the Titans a lot.
Do you think about the Colts? They won yesterday.
Yeah, I know. It disappointed me. It wasn't. Anthony Richardson has yet to throw for better than 50% completion.
He was right at 50% yesterday.
Just like he was last week.
To be fair.
I believe he finished exactly at 50% last week,
I think
too.
He did, too. Yeah.
One of these days, he's going to do it, man.
He was 9 of 19 against the Texans. Just shy of 50%.
He's going to complete over 50% of his passes in 2024 at some point this season.
I was watching a video yesterday, and they're like, this is what you get with Anthony Richardson, and he threw, like, just a dime.
Right,
like a deep ball, like he did to Alec Pierce in the Texans game. And then, however many plays later, he throws an interception inside the 5-yard line.
He's like one of those, you know, in a comedy, there is always some moment, there's some moment where, like, the dumbest cast member all of a sudden comes up with something brilliant, like where they just go into another zone. That's Anthony Richardson.
Yes.
Just once, he's the goofy stoner that all of a sudden is like, well, according to Occam's razor, we should do this or something, you know?
Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. If you head to T-Mobile.com, get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro.
Ooh.
There you go. Yeah.
You're up to 16 already?
16. I went and got the 15 like a month ago, and now they're up to 16. They warned me when I went to the Apple store.
It's like they do it every year.
Yeah. They warned me. They're like, sir, we have the 16 coming out soon. I'm like, well, I need this for the camera because I'm going to start doing like a lot of video stuff. Yeah. Like, you don't need to worry about that then. Go ahead and get the 15.
It's kind of weird, isn't it, that it's only been 16 years that the smartphone has been in our life to a large degree.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, you didn't really get a smartphone until maybe like a few years after that.
Right.
And now I can barely envision a time when I would have to go pick somebody up at the airport and not really have a clue what
get into a game.
Because even if you had to call somebody
on your phone.
Even if you had to call somebody with your phone at the airport with a cell phone, an old school cell phone, it was just way dicier than doing it with a smartphone.
All right, this might be this player might be catching the most heat of any non-quarterback that I've seen since covering the team here at Sports Radio 610. I'm talking about the Houston Texans. And we will go through yesterday why exactly that is happening right now. Deservedly so. That is next.